Well, good afternoon, everybody. Nice to see everybody. Over the past few weeks, both Mario and Howard have given sermons on the resurrection to eternal life. Today, I thought I'd give a sermon on the three interesting miracles of Christ raising people back to human life, focusing primarily on the son of the widow of Nain. So the title of my sermon is very simple, The Miracles of Christ. The Miracles of Christ. The most profound of all the miracles Jesus performed during his earthly ministry are these that in which he resurrected someone. The New Testament records three of these resurrection miracles, including the raising of a widow's son. That's number one, of Jairus's, J-A-I-R-U-S, Jairus's daughter, and of course, Lazarus. Luke, the physician, is the only one to record the raising of the widow's son. We find that in Luke 7, verses 11 through 17. So let's turn there. Luke 7, 11 through 17. Now it happened one day. Correction. Now it happened the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples were with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us. And God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. It's interesting that each of the three resurrection miracles reports the dead person in a different stage of death from the other instances. When Christ raises Jairus' daughter to life, she's still in bed, where she had died only a few hours earlier. The widow's son lies in an open coffin on his way to his grave when Jesus performs the miracle. Finally, Lazarus is already in the grave and has been dead for 4 days. By the time Christ arrives and raises him from the dead, let's look at John 7, 38 through 44. John 7, 38 through 44. Then Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb, it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." So we can see that he's probably starting to decompose. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you should you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then he took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound head and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." The varying lengths of time that they had been dead and yet were still resurrected shows that Christ can raise the dead no matter what. His miraculous power to resurrect is not dependent upon whether a person had just died, has been dead for days, or is already decomposing. The same principle holds true regarding spiritual salvation. God in Christ can save any sinner, no matter how old he is, how long he's been a sinner, or how badly he has sinned. In the account of the resurrection miracle in Luke 7, the young man who has died is the only son of the widowed mother. His death is twice as traumatic for the woman because she is now sonless and as well spouseless. So what trait of Christ is prevalent in this miracle? Well, in six of the approximately 33 miracles of Christ, his compassion is specifically mentioned as a factor in them. Besides this one, the miracles that speak of his compassion include the feeding of the 5,000 that we read in Matthew 14:14, the feeding of 4,000 that's in Matthew 15:32, the healing of the two blind men in Matthew 20:34, the healing of the leper in Mark 1:41, and the exorcism of the demons in Gadara in Mark 5:19. His compassion is present in every miracle he performed, but only in these six is it mentioned. Jesus was the most compassionate of all mankind. Let's look at Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Often when things do not go well for some people, they complain that Christ does not care. Yet that complaint is unjustified. Scripture shows abundantly that he does care, a great deal more than we realize. It is not Christ who is uncaring, but humans. We lack compassion for God the Father, for his Son, and for one another. When Jesus has compassion on the widow, saying, "Do not weep," he is not merely asking her to cheer up. Instead, it is a foreshadowing of his power. He will remove the cause of her tears and simultaneously give his disciples a preview of God wiping away all tears. We won't turn there, but in Revelation 21, verse 4, it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." How personally involved is Jesus in performing this miracle, which we've already read? Well, first, he knows all the specifics of the case. His disciples see only a funeral as they pass, but he understands the circumstances of the corpse stretched out in the coffin. He knows that the deceased is a young man, the only son of his mother, and that she is a widow. Second, he does not wait for anyone to plead with him. Isaiah prophesies of this in Isaiah 65:1, which says, "I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me." Sometimes, before we call for help, he answers. What a special blessing that is. In Isaiah 65:24, it says, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear." Thirdly, when he sees the widowed mother, he has compassion on her. Christ's concern is apparent in his expression of his mercy and tenderness. Fourth, he says to her, "Do not weep," to provide comfort and encourage her. And fifth, Jesus is not pretentious when he touches the coffin, but in humility he offers hope. The widow thinks that all hope is gone, but even in these dire circumstances are not enough to remove the hope found in Christ. Christ also shows great tenderness when he presents him to his mother. What is Christ's chief purpose for performing these resurrections? Well, this miracle produces fear in those who witness it, but this fear turns into a deep feeling of awe for his compassion and power. As a result, Christ's fame among the people grows, while the hatred of the Jewish leaders increases as they reject his claim to be the Son of God. Excuse me. However, his primary purpose is to glorify God. The people glorify God when they say, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." Christ is the great prophet of Israel. The tragedy in this situation is that though a number of people look upon Jesus as the promised prophet, few give him much devotion. In the original Greek, the word "visited" means to oversee as well as to visit in mercy or in judgment. In this context, the meaning is that of favoring the people by sending this great prophet, Jesus Christ, who blessed the people by raising one of them from the dead. In their praise, we see gratitude as they glorified God for favoring them in this great blessing. Have a great Sabbath, brethren.